Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rupp from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. We are here with local realtor Joel Pringle. Joel, how come we are not eating Pringles right now?
Unfortunately, Matt strong-armed me to be here, and I was hoping that if I brought Pringles chips, it would make us all way too comfortable.
Okay. Do you have a favorite type of Pringles chip?
Only the original.
Okay. See, I usually only like the original, but last week I tried the Buffalo Ranch, and they were really good. I was surprised. So now I have two favorites, but the original are by far the best.
I'm surprised because I don't think any Pringles chips are actually that good. I think the original is fine. Sour cream and onions, fine. I don't think they're that good. I don't find them very appealing whatsoever.
I think they bring a different texture sometimes, but not an everyday chip. They're like every now and then, you know.
They taste like a chip that AI made.
Well, it is. It's all extruded potato formed. It's not as good as a classic potato chip.
Yes, but once you pop, you can't stop. So,
is that your slogan or theirs?
I don't know. We'll have to see how this podcast moves forward.
I once had hot dog flavored Pringles. They were okay. They taste like mustard, and I love mustard, so it was fine. But I don't think I saw those again for probably the right reasons.
Never heard of them. Yeah. Never heard. Nothing beats the original.
Awesome. So this is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, which says some of your favorite things about small business in the Kawarthas.
I think one of the big things about the Kawarthas is there are so many great small businesses and stories that, you know, give you an opportunity to really, let's play on the chips analogy, the flavor for the Kawarthas. It's very diverse, but there's definitely a consistency through, kind of like the original. So all the small businesses, you get to know the owners. They're real people actually, you know, they're serving their customers and building relationships. And, you know, being in a small town, that is one of the great benefits. It's kind of like Cheers. You walk in, they actually know who you are. You're not a number. If they're busy, they acknowledge you, they smile, they say hi, but, you know, you're going to have to wait a couple minutes.
Yeah, that's cool. What's, you and I both hail from the Belleville area. What's a big difference between the Kawarthas and Belleville?
Oh, that's a tough call. Originally being from Belleville, yes. However, I have not lived in Belleville since I was probably 19, 20. So the perception of my Belleville versus today's Belleville versus, you know, me today, you know, almost 20, 30 years later, that's a hard question. It's a hard question because the Belleville that I left is not the Belleville that's there today, and the Kawartha that I came to is not the Kawartha it was when I arrived here. So comparing today versus then, Belleville was a fun city. I mean, it's known as the beautiful city, but it was a lot of fun. What was your thoughts? What's your take?
It's funny you said the beautiful city. I almost forgot that. And I would say Belleville is way more beautiful now than it certainly was 25 years ago, especially the downtown. Mm. What I like about both places is just, you know, the community, small businesses, their own stories. It's different, but it's hard to describe how different it is. And it is evolving, which I think is important to note how the Kawarthas is different than when you arrived. And I think knowing it will be different probably in 10 years as it is today.
Mm-hmm. What keeps you from going back to Belleville?
It's a great question. I think going back has always been something that I flirted with, because you have this, you know, you grow up in a town and you have such an affinity for the people and whatnot. But the reality being is kind of like where I started is that is not necessarily what is actually there now. So, you know, I've established a career for myself here. Our family's well established. You know, kids going to school, sports teams, your favorite restaurants, and you know, the community itself, and you become part of the community. And as much as I was part of the community growing up, it makes it it'd be a very difficult decision to do so.
Why did you come up here to begin with?
That's a great question. So I actually ended up in Beaverton before we made the transition into the Kawarthas. I met my wife, Darlene, when I was working at student housing. So I worked for a company. We designed, built, and managed student housing. And I started from the ground up. I was a front desk manager. And my wife now, but not my wife at the time, her daughter or her sister was going to school there. And she came to visit, and I ordered them some pizza. And then long story short, we got married and moved to Beaverton. Mm. And so the transition from Beaverton into the Kawarthas, it was basically her. Mm. Yeah, moving from... I met her in Oshawa. We moved to Toronto, and she had a big corporate job, and I was just a front desk person. And, you know, the idea of moving to a small town to raise kids, and, you know, we would go for a walk. We were in basically 404 and Finch. Mm. And you go for a walk, and, you know, the bus smog gets you in the face, and you see all these people walking around, and you just think, is this going to be the best place to raise a family? And, you know, we moved to a smaller town, and then the Kawarthas, definitely the Lake Country, called us, and it was, the rest is history.
Yeah, that's a big transition. And what was the big transition or reason behind going from student housing to real estate?
Well, it was sort of a transition in the sense that I started right out of college into the business. It was a family business. And, well, the simple answer is as you work your way up to the top, you also work your way out the door. So our company was purchased. I was lucky enough to stay on for about 5-6 years. And then we were sold to a much larger organization. And before that happening, we had a passion for real estate. Both Darlene and I, our weekends were spent driving, looking at real estate, going through open houses and whatnot. And it was just a natural progression to say, you know, let's follow our passions versus, you know, I guess I would say burn the boats. And we jumped in both feet. Yeah.
Another big transition you had was meeting me.
Absolutely.
Talk about how that was such a profound change on your life.
Wow. Matt has had such an impact on my life. I now, you know, I would get up not knowing what to do on Monday mornings, you know, and there was this opportunity to come for morning coffee and, you know, not wanting to drink all of his coffee. And no, to be honest, actually, Matt has had an impact on my life here in the Kawarthas, and he presents a great opportunity with the morning coffee to get people together. And what I think is so cool about it is it's not scripted. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's literally just a group of like-minded business people getting together, and it can be from any industry. Mm-hmm. And the conversations can flow from the weirdest topics to actually honed in business topics. But I thoroughly enjoy the morning coffee and have getting to know Brian and Matt. So awesome. I don't know if you had a huge impact, but you've definitely given me something to do on Monday mornings. And my first ever podcast situation.
Did I ever tell you the time that we met each other?
Maybe. I think so.
Do you want to tell it? You do your version. I think this is like a good movie scenario where, like, here's your version and here's my version because it's weird.
It wasn't terribly weird. I was eyeing Matt up across the room at a social function. It was a launch, And
is this the launch for the social?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's the first time I remember. Yeah. I met later in the night.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, at any networking function, you do your best to sort of work a room or, you know, talk to people and you're getting to know them. And I saw Matt standing all alone over by the bar. And, you know, he caught my eye. And so, you know, in full disclosure, I had actually been Googling marketing agencies and companies in the area. And Matt was on my radar of somebody I wanted to talk to. So I saw him standing there lonely, you know, not talking to anybody. So I kept looking over and looking over. And I said to my daughter, who was with me at the time, Dara, I said, I think that's Matt. I've been wanting to talk to Matt for a long time. I should go over and talk to him. He looks lonely. And, you know, it took about 2 or 3 minutes. And then eventually, I needed a drink. So I went over and I just looked at him. And I said, hey, are you Matty G? And he looks at me and says, I'm Matt. And, you know, then we started chatting. And I said that I had been creeping him through the social media and trying to find a digital marketing company and expert in the area. So,
yeah. So we're at this function. I get there. I don't know.
You were standing all alone.
Right near when it started.
Yeah, because you were a bit later.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if you had ditched, and I was going to be pretty mad at you if you weren't there at all.
Yeah, and Brian's up there front and center. He was there like an hour early. I got there when it was supposed to start, so I got it at the bar, and I'm standing there, and I see Joel, who I know now, but at the time didn't know who he was, and the whole time he's like eyeing me. But he's 10 feet ahead of me, but he's like looking over his shoulder. And then he's like 9 feet in front of me, looking over his shoulder. And he just like kept creeping closer and closer. And then along the bar, I'm like, man, like this guy must really be into me or I owe him money. And yes, he turned to me and he's like, kind of like very coy, like, are you Matty G? And I think I actually said, do I owe you money?
Yes, you did. You did. That is accurate.
No, I'm like, yes, I'm Matt. And then you told me where you worked. And I was like, what do you even do?
Oh, yeah, because this is, you didn't know what Coldwell Banker was.
No, I didn't. I kind of thought they were realtors, but I also wasn't sure, like, insurance, a literal bank. I thought it was one of those businesses that did a little bit of everything. Life insurance, car insurance, everything.
As realtors, we do a little bit of everything.
Yes.
There is some therapy involved. There's some marketing involved. There's some coaching. There's a lot. But banking, insurance, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's funny. I remember, yeah, the do I owe you money? Because you often say things like that. Or if you recognize someone, you'll say, I want your money. You were saying that around.
He was saying that with his eyes, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, as soon as I said, I've been looking for a digital creator.
Yeah.
Like, how much money can I extract from this guy?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I remember that night. Because I walked over to where you guys were standing later. And I think Matt introduced me to you, and Dara was there, and she is hilarious. And I was like, who is this kid? Like, the way she banters and makes fun of you, I think is just magical.
Yes. It's great.
Yeah, it was a great, broke the ice. It started a good thing, so.
Yeah. No, that was actually an exceptionally fun night. Probably the first real social networking event that I had participated in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it was probably one of the first sort of social networking events that kind of took place outside of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there hadn't been a whole lot. So everyone is just ready to chat and have some fun and maybe even let loose a little bit. It was a great night. I thought it was an excellent event. The venue was fantastic. The people were great. And, you know, it's blossomed into this conversation.
That was one of the bigger networking events that I'd been to in a while, because now that I'm remembering, I came late, or like when it was supposed to start on purpose, because I was kind of tired of being
there. Yeah, I almost didn't go.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's kind of same.
Yeah, I got there like 30 minutes early for most of these events, and there's not a lot of people there, and then you're standing around longer, and it's like kind of quiet. So I was like, I'm going to slide in right when it's supposed to start, and I did, and it was packed, and that was fantastic. It was a great room, good people. It was awesome. So
yeah, that was the social launch. So shout out to Roderick and Rebecca for launching a magazine, as crazy as they are, and having a great event.
Yeah, yeah. So you work with your daughter.
I do.
You work with your wife.
I do.
In all sincerity, I'm not asking you to make a joke. You can, but what's it like working with your family, like a true family business?
You know what? Obviously, working with your family, I think off the hop would be, you know, work kind of never stops. Mm. But it is such an awesome, awesome opportunity. We all are there to support each other. Mm. We work well together. I mean, as Brian mentions, the banter between Dara and myself is definitely humorous at times and can break the ice. But, you know, short of saying that I am blessed to have this opportunity, I'm definitely blessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is one of those things that you are like-minded, you work collectively in a sense that, and you're innate. Mm-hmm. It comes off so natural and real to be able to have those conversations. You know, we can be sitting at a dinner table and literally talking about how are we going to help these people find a house, mm-hmm. or, you know, what's the next stage for taking this property to market. Mm-hmm. But and then the next conversation is, okay, where are we going to eat for dinner, or, you know, one of those things. So working with family, I mean, sometimes people think that, you know, there's a dynamic, but that can be challenging. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, Darlene and I have been working together. We both became licensed realtors in 2005. Mm-hmm. And now we've brought Dara into the mix, and it's working out really, really well.
Do you ever get a time to just turn your brain off and not talk about real estate and the family business then?
I would love to say yes, but seldom. Mm. Seldom do we turn it off. And I would think that's the biggest challenge with anybody who owns a small business or is self-employed. You know, add into the dynamic that you've got an entire family working together on it. You can't really ever turn it off. Mm-hmm. And so I think the one thing that we're really lucky is it's a passion that we all share. Mm-hmm. Dara inherently grew up through it all. And Darlene and I have always enjoyed it, and we work well together. She will look after the things and parts of the business that I don't like, mm-hmm. and vice versa. And but no, we seldom turn it off.
How did it come about that she would take care of the stuff that you don't like? Or did you have to be explicitly clear, or did this organically happen?
I would say very much organically. Mm. Everybody has their strengths and their weaknesses. And one of my weaknesses is quite frankly, accounting, mm-hmm. and overseeing the day-to-day. I'm more of a big picture. I'm the runner. You know, we've got an appointment today. Let's line them up. I'm the person that's running, but mm-hmm. she is 100% making sure that I am on track. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. She's an exceptional person, exceptionally amazing at what she does. And one of the most organized professional people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm not organized or professional.
No, that's okay. Sometimes you can appear that way, and it just means you have a good helper that's yeah. helping with that. And I think there's this perception, we were talking earlier about, you know, in any business, sometimes there's the perception of how you need to be and how you need to show up. And not everyone is organized and, you know, quote unquote professional. And that's okay. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean you can't be in business. You just need to maybe partner with someone who is, that allows you to stay on track and focused and, mm-hmm. the goals that you have.
What do you think Dara's strengths are right now, or where do you think she's going to really excel down the road?
Dara is probably one of the smartest people I know. Mm. And I like to think that she has a good mixture of Darlene's professionalism and insight and ability to read the trends and or what's happening, mm. or even a room. And, you know, she's very approachable. She's very much a real person. So she's taking the best, I think, traits of what Darlene brings is, again, that professionalism. But then myself as just being real. Mm-hmm. And she's witty. She sees things. And sometimes she might not say a whole lot, but she is taking it all in. I think Brian said that there were a couple coffee mornings where I didn't make it, and she definitely filled the room with some zingers, I think.
Yeah, she is. Part of me is like, why isn't she here?
Yes, so I was thinking the same thing.
That would be...
Content. We need Joel now, and then we'll have the rebuttal later.
Yeah, we need the rebuttal, then both of them together, and that'll be entertaining. I teach at college, and I teach a lot of people around her age because she's just finished university. And you're right, she is... like stands way above the crowd in terms of intelligence, and to mix that with the wit and the ability to read the room it's a gift. Like I see, someone who's probably been parented great. So that's my compliment to you.
Oh, that would be Darlene.
but just someone who's been allowed to find themselves and who they are. And if I look at from a realtor standpoint, sometimes if I'm a customer, it's like, do you want the super young person? But on the team, definitely, because you can just see that oozing ability of someone who's obviously growing up in that industry, but just has a personality that is in a way surprising, yet so comforting. So.
That is one of the things that we giggle a little bit about, because when we will show up to a house to do a showing, and whether you know this or not, sometimes lockboxes can be exceptionally finicky. And
oh, yeah. So that's your white whale, eh?
It is. It's the kryptonite. You've got everybody lined up,
looking at you,
so excited to get into this house, and the lockbox is just not functioning for you. But the good thing is that Dara grew up in real estate, and last week we showed a property that we showed it together, and I had shown it the week before, and I had a darn hard time with the lockbox. And so this time when we were showing it, I was with Darren, and I sent her up to deal with the lockbox. And I chatted with the clients outside, and she opened the lockbox in about 1 second. And, we got back in the car after, and I said, how did you do? She said, Dad, I've been playing with lockboxes in the back seat. You go for showings, as family, right? You have kids in the back seat of the car while you're doing work sometimes. And we always had lockboxes in the back seat of the car or in the glove box. Yeah. And she had been playing with lockboxes. She might as well be a lockbox expert. So, and that's sometimes fun is the dynamic. And I just go, wow, how did you do that?
Is real estate in your son's future, do you think?
I would think so. Funny story. I don't know if I should share this or not, but I know in his class, he's a grade 9 student, and part of his math class, they decided to do interest rates. Mm. And so one of the questions to lead up to the interest rate question was, what's the average sale price of a house in the core of the lakes? And he said that he was sitting there quietly, and he watched a couple of his fellow classmates put their hands up, and, they were guessing way off. So finally he just put his hand up. He's like, yeah, he nails it. And the teacher's like, just looked at him. How did you know that? but no, all of our kids, I have Sydney, who is also our middle child. She is as equally smart, exceptionally talented in so many ways. She's a second year business student at Trent, focusing on entrepreneurship and marketing. And I foresee she already is part of our team as far as taking care of some of our marketing initiatives and planning and whatnot. And I think you're going to see a whole lot of Pringles in real estate together. The team is definitely going to grow. So they've
all the different flavors of Pringles.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so it would be like that variety pack.
Yes.
The variety pack. Definitely the variety pack. So, yeah, it's definitely in their blood and born and raised sort of. So, yes, the answer is.
Yeah. My oldest son's 8, and he comes up to me this morning and was like, I know you're not going to do this, but if you were to charge me rent, how much would you charge me? I was like, I don't know, man. It's 7 in the morning. It's a Monday. Give me a break. He's like, no, like, how much would you charge me? I was like, $100 a month. He's like, oh, that's expensive. He's like, some places are renting for $25 a month. Like, wow. I didn't say this, but in my head, I'm like, first of all, you don't know what you're talking about. And I started to give him like some rough guesses of one room rentals. And he was like, oh, wow, that's expensive.
Does that include heat and hydro?
Yeah. Well, he was asking, he's like, well, that's all the other things. And I guess he wouldn't have to worry about like cutting the lawn and stuff. Like, at least he sees that idea. That's like, so okay, funny. Well, if I pay for this, I don't have to do this. Yeah.
Built-in labor. He's offsetting his allowance. That's what he's trying to
do. He's getting ready to move out already.
Yeah. I've had enough.
Yeah, I can't live in this prison.
That's such a fun, because he likes numbers and figuring stuff like that out. So
loves numbers, loves math. He's into money. No idea of what a lot of money is, though. They just think $100. They're like, oh, my gosh. They think it's outrageous. I'm like, anyways, yeah. What interests you most about real estate in Kawartha Lakes?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I mean, Kawartha Lakes is such a diverse area. So, you know, you go from anywhere from in-town brand-new builds, mm-hmm. to you can get into some of the more established neighborhoods, which, you know, bring with them so many positive attributes. And then, you know, you can spend a day showing waterfront properties and cottages, which is never a tough day. so, you know, I think what I love about the Kawartha is simply the diversity and the opportunity to, you know, be able to explore and help other people see the variables and the options available to them. So Kawartha, it's not like I'm right in a booming metropolis and, you know, you're just selling the exact same thing every single day. So no, there's something for everyone here. And so it attracts so many different people, mm-hmm. and they all have, you know, their goals, their desires, their wishes. And the Kawartha definitely presents such a diverse opportunity for anybody who's looking to maybe make a transition.
Yeah, because I guess if you were in Durham, Whitby, Oshawa to a degree, it's a lot of the same homes over and over and over again.
Very similar. Mm-hmm. Very similar product. I mean, it's, whereas Kawartha Lakes, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so awesome. It
works.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the Kawarthas from that perspective. It's a great place to be. And I think too many times realtors can get caught up in the bricks and the mortar, mm-hmm. but the Kawarthas is, yes, there's bricks and mortar, but you're buying into a lifestyle, mm-hmm. and the lifestyle of what, you know, I moved from the city, mm-hmm. to this area specifically. It was an area that we saw would be a great place to raise a family. Mm-hmm. So, and I think when anybody is looking, may it be from the outside to come in, they're looking for a transition. They're looking for a change. They need to find something that's going to meet their ideal of what they want their life to transition into.
How do you think that you do that uniquely yourself or the team?
That's a good question. You know, I think as a team, we definitely bring that uniqueness. I mean, my entire family, as far as my oldest daughter, was raised on the lake. Mm. So she understands, and we lived on the lake for, you know, 18 years. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different lifestyle. And, you know, she was able to go to a very small school, mm-hmm. graduated from, you know, Fenland Falls High School. My middle girl, Sydney, she had an awesome opportunity where we transitioned at that time, where we lived on the lake And then we moved actually into Lindsay. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really cool transition. She went to a local Christian Heritage school, graduated from there, and then also went to Fenland High. Mm. And my son, now he grew up on the lake, but then he has more predominantly been raised in town. Mm-hmm. So where I'm going with that, when you ask how are we uniquely positioned, we've kind of experienced all of what the Kawarthas has to offer, from may it be actual rural living, in town living, mm-hmm. and being able to speak to the pros and cons of both, but innately. It's not like I've researched, oh, this is what it's like to live on the lake. It's no, this is what it's like to live on the lake. There's pros, there's cons. Yes, you have to take your dock in so that the ice does not take it out in the springtime. But you get to put it back in and also freeze while you're doing it. So we can speak to what people think are the idea. People will be infatuated with the idea sometimes, but we can bring the reality of, you know, yes, it's awesome, but you also have to take into account these things.
That's really interesting. I've never thought about that, because there is this idea locally, maybe elsewhere, where one of the biggest selling features of a realtor is that they've lived here their entire lives and they know everything about this area, but they don't know the unique challenges of every property firsthand. And as someone that also moved here 6 years ago now, moving to the country was scary. I am not a handy person. I can't swing a hammer. I went from city water to a well, and I'm like, am I gonna bring a bucket to my backyard and like rope it down? And
I would have loved to have been your realtor and said, yes, absolutely, Matt, here's your bucket. That would be your closing gift.
Electricity, right? Or like heat and hydro, right? Yep. I'm going to the propane tanks and I have a hard time starting my barbecue. Is my house going to have a hard time starting? Right? Like, this was all so, I don't have streetlights out there. It's all unique and it was scary. And I was open about it at the time-ish, but really open about it now, the idea of, it is scary for someone not used to the country of, I love the idea of living on water, but I don't know anything about that. And I think that that's something to uniquely focus on for you.
And even knowing that, like, on this concession, the water is really good, and on this one, it's not. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a lot of those on-the-ground knowledge things where sometimes the seller is just hoping for someone who doesn't do their research to come in and buy. Mm-hmm.
No, I think having a local realtor is key in making that transition as smooth as possible. Mm-hmm. And I do joke, I would have loved to have been your realtor. I would have brought you the bucket, because we can joke and have fun and laugh. No, I actually would have given you a complete overview of you know, what it's really like. But I think you would have been fun to work through that process.
Septic. Like, I wasn't used to that. It's still weird to me, right? The whole, there's so many different unique things about living in Kawartha Lakes or in the, quote, country, mm-hmm. that are scary to people. It's also, it's interesting. So.
Yeah, I love this conversation for maybe another time almost, but just the idea of people buying into the story of what it's like, and mm-hmm. will they actually like it, because they're the idealistic living on the lake, mm-hmm. But then there's all the cons that come with that, that you have to be prepared for.
At the end of the day, the pros 100% outweigh the cons, especially if you're well prepared, well educated. And I think that's one of our biggest jobs and our role is, you know, sometimes people ask me, how do you sell properties? I said, I don't really consider myself a salesperson. I mean, my job really is to help educate a buyer or a seller on what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Brian, as you mentioned those things, I mean, big part of our role is, you know, helping them understand what that transition looks like. So yes, is it going to be amazing sitting there watching the sunsets or jumping off the dock into the lake? 100%. Is it worth, you know, sometimes having to get a riding lawnmower versus, you know, having somebody cut your grass or being able to do it? So the pros and cons, but if you go into it well-educated. And I think that is key to what we do, is just making sure people have a solid understanding of, you know, what they're getting into. That's
awesome. What do you think the future looks like for the area? If you were to put on your visionary hat, jump us 10 years forward, what's that look like?
Can I answer for him? I'm going to jump in. So someone literally asked him this morning.
Okay.
And he said, I'm going to paraphrase it into a better joke, but he was like, I'm not super sure what the trends are because I'm a trendsetter.
I love that. That's a great answer.
Yeah, I think.
So which trends will you be setting?
That's to be determined. I can't just disclose all of this.
Pringles
right away. Is the vest is definitely a trend that I think it's coming back.
Yeah,
I think it's. Matt admittedly said that he has always wanted a vest. He's just never been able to find the right vest.
No. You should start selling vests.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you want to know the true reason behind the vest?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't think anybody listening to this really appreciates the vest joke. Because Matt identifies people with different things. You know, if I show up without a vest on, he doesn't really know who it is. It sort of throws him off. So in true full disclosure, the vest actually helps with the dress shirt tuck. So, you know, you got to get that dress shirt tuck perfect. I mean, I went to a Catholic high school. I wore a uniform, a dress shirt. You always had to have your shirt tucked in and whatnot. But you never could get this. Sometimes you pull it out too far and it's left. But a vest, you got a vest on.
You hide it.
You can throw your cell phone, your keys, everything in a vest pocket. It's kind of like cargo pants.
True.
Yeah?
At what age do you have to start tucking your dress shirt into your jeans, though?
It all depends. I think by the time you become a responsible adult, which could, for some people, could be 20, some could be 50, or you may never actually
get
there.
I might not ever get there.
You might not ever get there.
I'm wearing shorts and sandals, so.
Yes, this is true.
I'm not the prototype professional here.
So where did that initiate? We kind of lost.
Trendsetting with your vest.
Trendsetting with the vest. No, I think... I think there's a lot of trends and whatnot, but and as far as that crystal ball question goes, I mean, we're in a time where, you know, you just look back 2.5 years ago, what happened with the market? And, you know, if you had a crystal ball leading into that, wow. I mean, so looking forward, I think right now we're hitting a very stable sort of situation in our marketplace, and it's nice to see people being able to negotiate deals again, get out and look at a property and not say, you know, I can show this again to you tomorrow, but it's, you know, it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah,
that was a joke that went around is, you'd like me to show you something a little more expensive. Well, I can show you the same property 2 or 3 days from now.
Yeah.
So now people can actually get out there, make an exceptionally informed decision, take their time, go through a house more than once. I hope to see our market continuing on that trend where it's fair for everybody.
And you like it that way?
Absolutely. 100%. It's very challenging for somebody to make the biggest financial decision of their life when the market's, you know, kind of
chaotic.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to be able to look at a market and analyze it and understand exactly where it is. And of course, it's going to be trending up and it's going to be trending down slightly here and there. But at the end of the day, our job is to really help them navigate through that. And when it's chaotic or doing things that's untraditional, it can definitely be a challenge.
Cool.
That's awesome. All right. So how do the people find you?
Well, you can find me on Monday mornings at Thrive with Matt and Brian, but you can definitely find me online at thepringleteam.ca or joelpringle.com. You can find me on 130 William Street at the Coldwell Banker Building, and you can call me, text me, 705-928-4663. And again, or with Matt and Brian on Monday morning.
If you see anybody walking up and down Kent Street in a vest,
I knew that was coming.
Probably Joel. Say hello.
Say hello. Say hello to Joel. And that's our show. Matt, what do you want the people to know, and where can they find you?
I want them to go to mattygdigital.com and book a call.
Awesome. And I want them to go to profitcoach.ca and book a call with me. If you'd like to be on the podcast, please reach out to us and we can make that happen at set it up at kawartha smallbusinesspodcast.ca.